It's time to play like a Jet with your host, Scott Mason.
Play like a Jet. What does that mean?
Here they come on 3rd and 5. Wilson, boy, somehow escapes. He's going to run for it. Plenty of green grass. Wilson stays in bounds. He's still going. And he's in. Touchdown. Zach Wilson pulling a magic trick.
Down the middle, he's got it. Elijah Moore. The 20. The 10. The 5. Touchdown. Tune is buried. That was Sauce Gardner coming in hot. Garrett Wilson. Here he goes. Goodbye. And hello, end zone.
Van Dyke swarmed, swallowed, and sacked. Guess who? You only got one guess. Jermaine Johnson.
Here's Breece Hall looking for history. Hall with his 24th straight game with a rushing touchdown into the NCAA record books.
Listen. Thank you.
From the PlayLikeAJet.com digital studio, this is Play Like a Jet. My name is Scott Mason. You can follow me on Twitter at PlayLikeAJet1. And it is time to review day number 4 of New York Jets training camp with our friend who is the co-founder over at Jets X Factor, Mr. Robbie Sabo, or as I like to call him, Robbie the Hitman Sabo. A little homage to one of the all-time greats, Brett the Hitman Hart. Robbie, what's up, brother?
Breaking the walls down. That's about it these days.
Which one of Chris Jericho's gimmicks do I have to give you? He's had like 12 of them.
I'll go with the prime era. I'll go with the greatest intro and introduction to a wrestler of all time.
And the walls of Jericho, the walls of Sabo here on Play Like a Jet. And Robbie, this was the first practice where fans were let in. What was the crowd like?
They were hyped. And, you know, each year training camp for the open practices, it's a hype party, but this year was different. It felt different. It's impossible to say it's the most hyped a fan base has been all time. I don't think it would be true either, but they were engaged. There wasn't a empty spot in the stands. It just was an incredible environment all around. Max Mitchell seemingly took the baton from AVT as the rookie O-line hype man as he tried to get the fans engaged early on. So, yeah, it was a really good atmosphere.
Fans getting into the nicknames early and the chants. We heard some Breeze, and it's going to be fun watching Breece Hall. Sounds like he had a nice day of practice.
Yeah, Breece is going to be something. The fourth play of teams, took a handoff. He's that perfect zone scheme, one-cut guy, and his vision's great. But once – this is what's noticeable. Once he finds that spot he wants – he accelerates downhill and he gets moving like nobody else. So I think it's the perfect body complement to Michael Carter. And that 1-2 punch duo is just going to be something.
The wide receivers did pretty well today. Garrett Wilson did have a drop, but he showed his ability to get contested catches. Corey Davis with another sliding grab. That extra 15 pounds that he melted off in the offseason looks like it made him more limber and he's able to make plays like that. And Rashard Davis, who everybody's been raving about in terms of speed, got open for some long receptions today. I don't expect him to make the team, but he might be making a case for the practice squad.
Yeah, Rashard Davis is doing a lot of different things, and he's versatile. You know, he can play a lot of spots on offense, do a little special teams. Corey Davis, probably his best showing today. Mims was a little quiet. Garrett Wilson, great catch over the middle. Wilson placed it in a safe spot, probably not the most accurate pass, but it was really safe, low and inside. Came away with the catch. I don't know if it was a catch officially, but you know, I'll give it to him. Had a drop, had an easy drop, but Garrett Wilson was impressive as well. So, yeah, the receivers, the weapons, really good day.
Play like a Jet. Play like a Jet.
I know you're not allowed to get into any specifics, but it sounds like Sauce Gardner has been very impressive so far. That continued today.
Dude, Sauce, I'll tell you right now, when it was man, and he's just, forget man coverage, when he's just, his duty is to take one guy, you know, mano a mano, he locks that guy up. You know, Elijah Moore, I saw it with multiple guys today, he just locked him up. Even in situations where the coverage was, you know, not safe, where you think maybe the corner will give some cushion, and someone would call it technically risky, but Sauce, when he's in that situation, there's never a moment where as a coach you go, oh my God, what's he doing? Because he doesn't give the guy any breathing room. Now in certain coverages where it's zone and he's trying to do the right thing and he's playing with a different mindset, you know, third and long mindset. He'll give up some plays here and there, but that's to be expected. That's strategic. You know, when he takes a guy one-on-one, he's just locking him up. And I don't want to get Jets fans ahead of themselves, but he just looks special.
Speaking of looking special, you were going on and on before we started recording about Carl Lawson. He might bring a certain element to this defense that they haven't had in a really long time.
First play of teams. And here's a caveat. You know, you can't really judge offensive linemen at this stage of the game, run blocking or pass pro, if there's no shoulder pads on, because there's nowhere to grab, no chest to block. So it's really difficult. But having said that, Lawson has an edge to him. First play of teams, McDermott playing left tackle. You know, Fant's still not out there. And Lawson just went straight line, bull rush over McDermott. McDermott didn't fall down, but, you know, if he didn't do what he had to do, he would have fallen down. So, you know, I'll give Lawson the credit for the sack or just a disruptive play on that one. He looked like a beast today and especially early on in teams.
There was an injury scare with another guy who's going to be a key player on the defense this year going into a pivotal year. Quinnen Williams, for a while, people thought he might be hurt. Looks like he's going to be okay. What happened?
I caught the tail end of it. I guess he got hit in the throat and, you know, he left, but I didn't think much of it. I thought he'd be fine. And it turns out Saleh confirmed that he is fine, so no worries on that front.
Robbie, we just talked about Carl Lawson, and one thing that you worry about with Carl Lawson is that the durability has been a question for him his entire career. We know this. He missed all of last year. He's missed a lot of games, not just with the Bengals, but even going back to Auburn, which is why he dropped to the fourth round. The Jets went out and got Jacob Martin to bring the type of depth chart stability that the Jets haven't had at edge rusher in quite a while. And so Jacob Martin drew rave reviews when people actually went through and watched his tape. Our friend Brett Coleman, who's a Houston Texans fan, was saying that the Jets got a real steal when they got Jacob Martin. And you just said before, Robbie, and Chris Nimbley has said on the podcast before, and I've said this, you can't really tell anything for sure until the pads come on. But Martin beat Becton again for a sack today. He's looked pretty good each day of training camp so far. It's nice to hear that about a guy who you kind of hope doesn't have to start, but you're happy that if he does have to start, he's looked good so far and could be that secret weapon.
Yeah, Martin, he looks good. And, you know, if you think about, I think we talked about this on one podcast. If you look at the way this roster is constructed, they have a lot of edge players and not too many inside guys. So John Franklin Myers, where he plays this year, will be interesting. He's playing three tech, so he's playing inside, but he's also going to play edge and base. Everyone knows in the NFL, you know, sub package nickel is pretty much the base now. So what percentage JFM plays inside as opposed to out, I think is interesting. And I think it'll be largely determined on variables like such as injuries, such as whether JJ could be ready, how Huff could hold up if Lawson stays healthy. The great news is Martin is an excellent guy to plug into the top six, top seven, top eight D line. And that's the way Ulbrich and Saleh view it. It's an 8-man starting unit. So, you know, you got to like what you see so far. And then Monday when the pads come on, you know, that'll be the first true test.
Let's talk a little bit about the offensive line. We mentioned Breece Hall before. He was able to get some nice runs. So did Michael Carter. So I guess that speaks well of the run blocking early on in camp. Again, we'll find out more on Monday when the pads come on. But so far, so good.
I love that blend with Michael Carter and Breece Hall. They're both versatile, which means they both can play in today's NFL. You know, running, receiving. We'll see about the pass pro. That's going to be a question for anybody, any rookie coming in. But I love that blend. And I also love the way the coaches are handling it. You know, a lot of Jets fans want to see JJ, Sauce, Breece start right away. That's not the way it works. You got to make them earn it first. I know Sauce will be right up there because he's just special. Garrett Wilson will get his playing time. Breece will get his as well. So just be patient. But that blend is tremendous. And the real question is, how many do they carry? Three or four at running back? If you go three and you feel good with MC, Michael Carter, and Breece, you know, there's going to be some tough cuts. But I think that'll be okay if you feel good with those top two.
probably the worst day of training camp for Zach Wilson so far. Another red zone interception, got picked off for a pick six by DJ Reed, went 7 for 15 and 11 on 11s. We say this every time. It's one day of practice. These guys try different things out. So you never really know what was a miscommunication, what was somebody freelancing, and what was actually a really bad decision. Wasn't his best day, but that's okay. It's early in training camp.
Yeah, don't overreact to anything you see or read, you know, including from me. He's going to be fine. The really good thing is the Jets have a really great quarterback situation. Yes, you want to back up just in case of injury. Yes, you want mentors. But the beautiful thing about it is you got Flacco playing well, And then you got Zach Wilson. You got all three guys who really good reps for every man on that roster. Reed did a, you know, half-hearted Dion high step, 100-plus yards as he got close to the end zone. I think Sauce did a backflip too. Someone told me, but I can't confirm it because I didn't see it. It was one of those one-Reed locks where he was trying to hit someone in the red zone. And Reed just played it perfectly. It was a veteran corner move where he anticipated it and jumped the gun. And, you know, he's just going to have some of those sometimes. Wilson wasn't without good reps, though. There was some nice balls, one to Elijah Moore, one to Garrett Wilson, as I mentioned earlier, in a safe spot. So I like what I see. I like the confidence I see from him, but, you know, not perfect by, you know, any stretch. And that's to be expected.
And Robbie, on the plus side, it was a really nice play by DJ Reed, and the Jets are going to need that during the regular season. So with every cloud, there's a little sunshine, right?
Yeah, and a huge narrative, a huge storyline to watch out for is this DB group. This DB group can be really special. You know, you watch them together when they're in positionals. They get along great. They work hard. They each have handshakes. I don't know how specific it is. I think they're still fine-tuning it between themselves. Reed and Gardner, I saw them doing something, but they communicate. It feels like they communicate very well, and they shouldn't be communicating this well with three new guys. You know, you got rookie Sauce, you got opposite side with DJ Reed, new veteran, Whitehead, new veteran, and then, you know, whomever the other safety is, probably Joyner right now. And you got Pinnock, Ashton Davis mixed in. So the fact that they're communicating on and off field this well, you know, keep an eye out for that secondary.
After practice, Robbie, we heard from all four of the top rookie draft picks, Jermaine Johnson, Sauce Gardner, Garrett Wilson, and Breece Hall. Jermaine Johnson said none of the rookies have an issue with the high expectations that have been placed on them. He said that Sauce Gardner, quote, has juice. And this is a trend that was going to be revisited by the other people speaking who weren't Sauce Gardner. He wasn't going to speak about himself that way. Also said he was looking forward to hitting people on Monday when the pads come on because he hasn't hit anybody since November. You certainly like to hear something like that. Garrett Wilson said that the trip to Idaho with the rest of the receivers and Zach Wilson was a real experience. It was awesome. Also talking about Sauce Gardner said that boy is, quote, a dog. Breece Hall also spoke, said it's nice to get love from a new fan base. Loved hearing the Breece chants. Also Sauce Gardner spoke, said he was really excited by DJ Reed's pick six that he ran 100 yards. And to confirm what you said before, Robbie, he did a backflip. He confirmed this himself when he spoke to the press after practice. He said it was his first backflip since he was 12 years old. So I'm glad to see that Sauce wasn't as rusty as you might have thought he had been. He hadn't done a backflip in about 10 years. Sauce has been spoken about by all of these guys. So many people just raving about how well he's done so far throughout camp. And it is really great to be able to hear those kind of raves. Last year, it was about Elijah Moore. This year, it's Sauce Gardner.
Yeah, he's just a natural. And, you know, you can't get by. You have to be a rare person to get by just being a natural. And Sauce is definitely a natural, but he also, you see it in practice, he also works on a lot of things. He works on technique. In OTAs or minicamp, I forget which one, he put those big hamburger helper hand gloves on to work with not being so grabby, not being so handsy in press. You see him, not a lot of young guys will do that. You know, it kind of looks silly. You don't want to do that, especially early on. He's a rookie. He's willing to do it. you know, and looks, you know, be damned. Who cares? He just wants to get better. And DJ Reed, you know, when you look at Sauce working on something, usually DJ Reed's close behind. And I think that's a key telling thing, that these guys really like each other, and Reed loves his role, not just on the field, but what he could bring to the team and the personnel. And, you know, what Jets fans have heard from Joe Douglas, that's exactly what you think Douglas's mission is, not just to improve the team, but to get the right type of person in here. So, yeah, all these young kids doing well, they're all rooting for each other. And, yeah, that trip to Idaho, even Elijah Moore spoke on it yesterday. I forgot what he said. He said it was a hell of a trip to get out there from where he usually lives. But they all had a great time. I mean, they absolutely loved it.
One other thing Sauce Gardner talked about is how much he's really enjoying the back and forth at training camp between himself and the offensive side with Zach Wilson and Mike LaFleur. Said it reminds him of Cincinnati. Says every time they try and get him with a big play, he looks over and says, oh yeah, watch me now. So he said it's fun to get in the mix and have a competition with those guys. Also, Robert Salas spoke. He said that he's concerned about the impact of guardian calves, specifically when they come off after the second practice game week. Senses that players are using their helmets more now because of protection, and wonders how it will be when caps are no longer mandated. Also confirmed what you said, Robbie, that Quinnen Williams is indeed fine, even though there was a bit of a scare. So any thoughts on that other comment by Sauce Gardner about the back and forth with Mike LaFleur and Zach Wilson, and also what Salas said about the guardian caps and the confirmation about Quinnen Williams being okay?
Yeah, Quinnen definitely okay. No worries there, you know. You see it on Twitter. If anything is reported, like Quinnen's getting checked out, Quinnen's hurt, mass hysteria breaks out, he's fine. The guardian caps, I've been behind the eight ball on that one. That one took me by surprise. I didn't even know what the hell they were. And yeah, I know it's a league wide thing now. I know as a football coach, you could be concerned about that a little bit, but I think Salah should just let it play out. I think they'll be fine by the time the full pads come on. No worries until there's actually a worry in that regard. And then with Sauce, the trash talk, see Sauce, again, like I said, he's a natural, but he's also the perfect blend of confident and humble, if that makes sense. It contrasts with one another, those two words, but he's not, you could call him cocky, I guess, but he's extremely confident in what he does. He's prepared, and he also understands he's not where he wants to be. So having that mindset is a great thing. You know, in minicamp or OTAs, again, they blend together. I can't remember which one. He and Braxton Berrios got into it. You know, they started grabbing each other's jerseys, not swinging each other, but just face-to-face, talk a little smack, like, yeah, I got you this time. Yeah, I'll get you next time. He loves that stuff. And as a coaching staff, I'd love it too. I'd want to promote it even as much as I can. You know, the old school coaches loved training camp fights. I've met coaches that even do things to try to set up a training camp fight. I don't think Sal is that way. You know, I don't think in today's day and age, they try to get that done, get that accomplished. I saw Josh Allen was going at it with a D tackle today. I forgot which D tackle it was, but you know, you want to see that competitiveness at the same time while the locker room gets along and roots for one another. And I think they got that blend right now.
One last thing before we go, Robbie, I wanted to bring this up. It's not something that anybody's going to be all that excited about, but Joe Flacco at age 37 looked really, really good today. He can still throw that deep ball as well as anybody in the NFL. It's not something that anybody's going to focus on for obvious reasons, but it is nice to know that Joe Flacco can still go out there and gun it down the field. You hope Zach Wilson doesn't get hurt for any extended period of time. But having Flacco there, not just as a mentor, but also as a guy who could step in for a couple of games if needed, it's not a bad thing.
No, man, it is. Again, it's overlooked. Like, what do you do during the season? You'd love to carry just two quarterbacks, right, to get that extra spot, especially if you have an unquestioned starter like the Jets with Zach Wilson. Even though he's young, he's still unquestioned as the number one. But having three, and I'll throw Mike White in there too. I mean, as he's a great three. Having three quarterbacks who, you know, don't let one rep go to waste, pretty much, you know, like other teams where their backup isn't even that great. It's a great thing in terms of building the cap, the development ceiling of every player. So it'll be interesting to see what they do, you know, for the 53-man roster. If they go two and move one of them, if they go three, it'll be interesting. But yeah, Flacco's looked really good.
Robbie Sabo, co-founder, JetsXFactor.com. Thanks so much for coming on and recapping day number four of training camp with me. Really appreciate it. For those that want to check out everything that's going on over at JetsXFactor.com, you can read some of the free stuff, but a lot of it's behind the paywall, including my friend Joe Blewett's 3-hour-plus film reviews. If you're a film junkie, if you really want to see everything there is to see, you want to make sure that you're signed up for that. And so much more, right, Robbie? You guys have a ton over at JetsXFactor.com.
Yeah, man. We do what we can, you know. Joe Blewett. I saw him wear – I haven't watched the last couple reviews. I got to get the next one up. But he's been wearing glasses for some of them, sunglasses. I got to find out what's going on there. Maybe the 3-hour film breakdown's getting to him. I got to figure it out. But yeah, Blewett, Nania with the analytics. It's just go to JetsXFactor.com. Check it out. See what you like. And there's something there for every fan.
Who would have known that Joe Blewett is the modern day Jim McMahon?
Yeah. And that tint, the tint on those glasses, I can't describe it. It's like five colors of the rainbow. I don't know. I got to investigate what's going on here.
It's like a Corey Hart video. Kids, Google that. It was a hit in the '80s. Wears his sunglasses at night. Make sure that you go to JetsXFactor.com. Check out everything they're doing over there and visit PlayLikeAJet.com and the Play Like a Jet YouTube channel, YouTube.com/PlayLikeAJet. We've got some great videos up there. We're going to be doing some daily updates, giving you everything you need to know heading into each day's training camp for a couple of minutes, courtesy of the Thunder from Down Under, Luke Grant. Some great All-22 breakdowns up there as well. Visit our store, teepublic.com. That's teepublic.com. We've got the John Franklin Myers, Quinton Williams, Bless You, Thank You shirt, the Zach Says Go Long shirt, the Zach the Ripper shirt, the Play Like a Jet logo shirt, caps, mugs, hoodies. It's all there, teepublic.com. That's teepublic.com. And be sure to give us a 5-star review for the podcast on iTunes if you haven't done that already. Easy way to help out the show if you like what we're doing. Doesn't take you much time, doesn't cost you any money, but it goes a long way to help us out. So if you could go ahead and do that for us, we'd be quite grateful. And for the latest and greatest in New York Jets podcasts and content, you know where to go. That's Play Like a Jet Digital and PlayLikeAJet.com.